KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:06, it's cloudy and 54 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with a high of 69. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. In state news, a new federal report says the Iowa Department of Human Services has failed to adequately guard against fraud in its state-run child care program for the poor. The Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services issued the report this week. It says the state's agency's process of paying claims within the program has left it vulnerable to fraud, waste, and abuse. The program provides about $88 million worth of assistance to families each year. The report estimates that between April of 2010 and March of 2011, the state agency had paid out $21.7 million in questionable claims. The state agency agreed with most of the Inspector General's recommendations, but said some of the criticisms were unfounded. News time is 9:07.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
The Iowa Board of Regents approved a recommendation Wednesday to do away with a controversial program that takes tuition money from some students and sets it aside to be used as financial aid for other students in need. The committee appointed by the board to review the issue recommends the board ask the state legislature for $39.5 million to replace the set-aside funds. Regent David Miles of West Des Moines defended the program and said it got the unfortunate set-aside label, but Miles said the committed recommendation should resolve the issue for those who have concerns.
I think this is a very strong move in the right direction. I think it's important that Iowa and Iowans keep a door open, maintain access and affordability for students of families that have financial need. We cannot take a step backwards in that.
Miles says he wants more details on how the new plan would work.
An element that's not addressed that I would like to see addressed in a very clear fashion is how the dollars will get allocated to the universities. And I know that work has been done on that. Different states take different approaches. There is a model out there for the private colleges and universities, how they go about it as one thing that we could look at. But I think it's a very important question as to how those dollars actually get allocated.
The new plan also calls for the board to work with the foundations at the University of Iowa, ISU, and UNI to raise money for merit-based scholarships. Regent Bruce Rastetter of Ames asked for more details on that part of the plan.
I additionally would like to see, between now and the end of October, the more defined commitment from the foundations to be able to raise the merit dollars, because I think that's a critical aspect of us asking the state for more support, that the universities are doing their part to participate with this, and in particular the foundations are focused on making sure they replace those dollars to be able to continue to have those programs there.
Rastetter said it will be important to know that they will be able to lower tuition for other students if they get the money from the state and the foundations to use for students in need. The current set-aside proposal came under fire this year as critics said it raised tuition on some students as a way to force them to subsidize the education of low-income students with financial aid. The regents will discuss the issue again during their meeting in October. And a 21-member committee has been formed to search for the next president of the University of Northern Iowa. The Iowa Board of Regents Wednesday approved the members of the search and screen committee, which includes regents, professors, administrators, and leaders of the faculty, staff, and student groups. The public members of the committee are three leaders from the business world. The group will search for a replacement for President Ben Allen, who has announced plans to step down when his successor comes on board. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Yemen's president has apologized to President Barack Obama for the attack on the U.S. embassy in Sana'a, the Yemeni capital, by a mob who was angry over an anti-Islam film. The U.S. embassy in Yemen says nobody was harmed in today's assault. Several hundred protesters stormed the embassy's compound, brought down the U.S. flag in the courtyard, burned it, and replaced it with a black Islamist banner. A Shiite militant group is threatening U.S. interests in Iraq as part of the backlash over an anti-Islam film. The leader of the Iranian-backed group said the video that ridicules the Prophet Muhammad was unforgivable and called on all Muslims to, quote, face our joint enemy. The U.S. embassy in Baghdad remains the world's largest American diplomatic mission with an estimated 15,000 employees. Stocks are opening on Wall Street with little change ahead of a key decision by the Fed Reserve on the economy. The Fed will issue a statement just after noon today Eastern Time, and Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks about 2 hours later. The Fed may buy U.S. bonds or take other steps to stimulate the economy. And a sharp rise in gasoline costs is showing up in the latest overall wholesale price figures. Those prices rose last month by the most in more than 3 years. But outside of energy and food, price gains were mild. The government is also reporting today that the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose last month to the highest level in 2 months. News time is 9:12.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
And in the funeral announcements, Loretta Comus, age 91, of Exira, died Saturday. Funeral services for Loretta Comus will be today at 10 o'clock at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Coon Rapids. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Isla Rhodes, age 92, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Funeral services for Isla Maxine Rhodes will be today at 11:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Martha Grover, age 97, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Services for Martha Grover will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gerald Herrick, age 96, of Greenfield, died Sunday. Funeral services for Gerald Herrick will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Donna Brandis, age 82, of Corydon and formerly of Oakland, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Donna Brandis will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church. Recon V Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Patricia Patty Olson, age 61, of Joppa, Maryland, died Friday. Graveside services for Patty Olson will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Cuppies Grove Cemetery in rural Shelby County. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Arlene Hansen, age 84, formerly of Elkhorn, died August 13th. Memorial services for Darlene Hansen will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverdale. McLaren Rest Haven Chapel and Mortuary in West Des Moines has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic.